everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. God is good, and like always, he's mightily, mightily, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for that fact. He loves us. Last week, we talked about transition. Apostle Paul is one of the greatest, he's one of the most interesting people in the Bible. He went from being a terrorist to an apostle in moments. You know, he was a Pharisee. He didn't agree with Christians. He held the coat for Stephen. We talked about that the last few weeks. But while he was holding that coat, he heard the words of Stephen. And Stephen preached a synopsis of the whole Bible, how the Lord brought Christianity into being, how he set a plan in motion by the Holy Spirit that blesses all men, not just Jewish people. He did this for every tribe on earth, every race on earth, every person on earth, and every family on earth. Jesus died for us. He died for the Jews. He died for the Romans. He died for the Greeks. He died for the Creeks. He died for the Asians. He died for the Russians. He died for the English, the European, the African, everybody. He died for the wonderful people of India. He loves us. So whatever corner of the earth you're from, Jesus died for you. Why you didn't believe that he died for you? In order for so that you could be turned into the sons of the living and true God. I thank God for his works. Now, Paul heard the words of Stephen, but he yet acted on his old belief system. I want to explain something. If you want to make a change in your life that will last, you got to do it in your heart. You got to make the change inside of your heart. You live from your heart, your spirit man, not the blood pump, but your spirit man. Now, I always say that when we believe on Jesus, we get a brand new spirit. Now, I'm going to go back and look. I'm going to show you in scripture. I've been saying it, and you've been taking my word for it, but I'm going to give you scriptures for it. But right now, I want to deal with transition a little bit more. The word grew in Saul's heart just like a seed in your garden, and it becomes a beautiful living plant. Apostle Paul was on his way in chapter 9 on the Damascus Road, and he saw a great light, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, he gave his testimony two more times after chapter 9. And when you read the other accounts, and one day we'll look at them too in Acts, all of his accounts are in the book of Acts. He explained that Jesus knocks him off a horse when he was in court talking about this vision. Jesus Christ appeared and knocked him off of his horse. But in chapter 9, he just said he saw a great light and said, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, all of these accounts are true, but he's just given us more description of it. And Jesus said, "Why do you persecute me?" He said, "I'm Jesus. Why do you persecute me?" And he was persecuting the church. If you persecute the people of God, now, the church is not the big brick building. The church is the people who believe on Jesus Christ who go to the brick building. And he said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." The pricks was the seed that was sown in his heart, which he heard Stephen speak. And he was kicking against the words that Stephen spoke while he held the men's jacket that was stoning him. And he was pricked by it. The seed was growing in his heart. And when Jesus knocked him off his horse, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He answered his own question. And then Jesus answered, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." All right? And I read this for yourself. But he believed on Jesus. Jesus sent him to Ananias. Ananias prayed for him so he could receive his sight. He received his sight again. And it was like scales fell from his eyes. And then Ananias laid hands on him and he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, you have to be a Christian in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He believed on Jesus. Ananias said, the man will kill me. That's what he came to do. And Jesus said, no, he prays. And Ananias obeyed God. Sometimes you're going to have to take the Lord at his word in your life. You're going to have to go by the facts that Jesus tell you, the facts that the Holy Spirit gives you. And you're going to have to transition from your old thoughts to his new ones. Nobody wants to get in danger, even for God. But when the Lord tell you to do something, you're not in danger anymore. Because if he wants it done, he's going to protect you so you can finish your work. Like Ananias did. And he prayed for Saul. All right, Saul got saved. But didn't nobody trust him. The Pharisees wanted to kill him. And the Christians didn't trust him. So he left for the deserts of Arabia. And he went in the Lord's presence. And he learned from the Lord for 3 years in Arabia. You can read about that in Galatians chapter 1. And the Lord called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And as long as he preached to the Gentiles, he was very effective. Because he transitioned. Sometimes if you really want to transition and understand things the right way, stop asking people the questions you need to be asking the Holy Spirit. If you really want to know the truth of things, study God's word and believe it as you read it. But don't just study your favorite scripture. Study it in its context. Study the chapters. And the Lord will help you understand. The Holy Spirit will guide you in the word of God so that you can understand it more accurately. Well, how far will I get? As far as you get. You can't exhaust the word of God in your lifetime. But you can sure learn a lot of things that will help your life. Write down the things that you have the biggest problem with and start there. Strengthen yourself. One day the Lord told me how Satan destroys people. He said he works against us. He operates in our life with our weaknesses, our hurts, and our fears. Don't forget that. Just like Adam was supposed to destroy, reject the tree of life, you're going to have to reject your weaknesses. As you learn God's strength, reject the weaknesses. If it's lust, reject it. Learn to stop fearing it. When the Lord told me to stop fearing that I would fall, I saw things better. And I stopped fearing what I was afraid of. And then I was able to operate in his word. I said, Lord, I want to see things the way you do. I want to deal with anger positively like you do. I want to reject lust like you do. I want to reject laziness like you do. I said, how can I do it? And he helped me learn it. I spoke it. I spoke God's word in my life to make change. People told at that in those days, people said, well, God sent problems to humble you and make you learn. I didn't believe it because it didn't sound like God. So I went and asked the Lord about it. I said, Lord, do you send people problems to help them grow and learn? He said, and he answered me right then. He said, problems come from Satan, lack of knowledge on your part, and other people's lack of knowledge. So if you want to transition, you're going to have to learn some things and reject some things that's not true. And you can't trust everybody's advice, even the advice of good people. You're going to have to learn to trust God's word, take him at his word. And just like I said a few broadcasts ago, the men and women of God that love you, that preach, sometimes they preach things that's not quite true in the word. If we take the scriptures out of context, God can't honor that as truth. You got to understand that. And men can do it. I don't have a right to take any scripture out of context. I don't want to. But is it possible? It is possible. But if I speak a scripture in context, the Holy Spirit will always, and I mean always, follow it with signs and wonders. Because every scripture spoken in context is anointed. If you take a scripture out of context, even though it's God's word, if you change the meaning of it, that meaning is not anointed, but the way God intended it to be is. So people preach doctrines that's not true, but they don't mean to. It's because they were taught wrong, or they believe wrong, or they're deceived, or they're too lazy to learn better. I'm not trying to tear anybody down, but these are facts. And if you want good information, you got to understand the facts. The Bereans studied the word for themselves. They didn't just take the apostles' word for it. And the Bible called them more noble than other believers. In other words, they had more sense. But they said they were more noble because they wanted to be polite. God loves us. And we all share the same responsibility to get to know God and live by His word. That's your responsibility. And it'll make your life better. It's your responsibility to get saved. It's not the preacher's responsibility. We just tell people so they can. But it's their responsibility to respond. You get an invitation to somebody's wedding, it's your responsibility to go if you want to go, or don't go if you don't want to go. But God invited you to heaven. You got the invitation. Hopefully you understand that fact. So believe on Jesus and go to heaven. Well, people are going to talk about me. They're going to talk about you anyway. Whatever you do, somebody going to talk about you. And they're not going to understand. Yeah, but I grew up thinking this way. Sometimes you got to cut ties with the way you used to think and transition. If you want your life to go right, you got to do that. If your religion or anybody's religion tell you you can go to heaven without Jesus, they just lying to you. Or either they're deceived or they're deceitful. And they don't care about your soul. And false prophets, they treat people like merchandise. There are people with a Christian, the church has a Christian label on it. But if the man of God is not saved, and if he loved money more than he loved God, And he's willing to preach the word in error and understand that he's a false prophet. Anybody that preaches error, they're teaching wrong, even if they're true prophets of God, even if they're God's people. But their language is false. And who will judge it? The word will. We're all judged by the word. And everybody's already judged. If you want to live forever, you got to be saved. Now, Paul made transition. He became one of the greatest apostles of all time. Now, he wasn't the greatest. Peter was. But he did what he should do. He was one of the great. He did good. He did what he should do. And I thank God for it. You can transition too, and your life can be just as wonderful. But will it be like Apostle Paul? No. It'll be like God had intended your life to go, because the Holy Spirit guides us in what to do. You won't do the exact works Paul did. And in fact, nobody do the very same works. They have similar anointings or similar gifts, but God uses us like snowflakes differently. We preach the same message, but our audiences and the way he uses us is going to be different, and according to our personality that he made, because our personality is a creation. And God expects you to be you, not somebody else. But you got to transition. Now, you can hear these broadcasts again on my website, newlivingletters.com. Tell all your friends. If these broadcasts is really blessing you, this broadcast is on the website, newlivingletters.com. And you can download it to your smartphone and listen to it whenever you want to. You can send it to somebody else and they can listen to it. And I thank God for the new technology. God gave us technology so that we could do God's perfect will. He gave us technology so that we can live, not just play games all day. If these broadcasts is a blessing to you, go to newlivingletters.com, download it to your computer or smartphone, text it to your friends, your cousins in another state. And then let them know they can listen to the website too, wherever they are in the world, as long as they got internet. And there's writings on there as well. And I'm about to publish a new one. It may be on there by now, since the time I did this broadcast. I thank God for technology. And we need each other. We need to grow. Our lives need to be healthy. We do need to transition. If your body needs healing, be healed. Because healing is in redemption. Why do you say that, preacher? Because the world needs to see us healed, because they need vision. Fight the good fight. If you're about to die of cancer, don't die of cancer. Believe God, be healed. And so everybody who was praying for you will see it and know it, and then they'll know they can do it. Your children will see a mighty move of God in your life, and they can't forget it. And your friends will see the same change. And it's notable. Anything you struggle with, transition into the powerful life of God. Live a life of power. And don't let your life be stolen. Because our enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy, and not help us out. He's trying to feed us some good-looking, deadly fruit. Whatever he say, it's going to be first good-looking. Whatever Satan speaks, and whenever he come around, he's good-looking, and his lies are good-looking. They sound right, but death and destruction follow every 100% of the time. You got to learn to not trust his lies. Just like you learn to trust him, you got to learn to not trust him. And simultaneously, you got to learn to trust the Lord. And I thank God for that. To those who transition, the Lord is going to help you do it. He's going to help you do what you got to do. If any problem that's a nagging in your life, anything that's wrong, if you have trouble prospering financially, getting a better job, pray for a job that you're suited for. And don't give up so fast. Look for the job, pray for the job that you're more suited for, something you would enjoy doing, and start doing it. And when you get the job, be faithful. And ask the Lord how to manage the money. I've seen people that make $7 an hour attain more than people that make three times as much. Don't discount the wisdom of God. Embrace it, and he will help you transition. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to teach those who trust him, who seek him, who want to know him. And remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.